Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. We're continuing our coverage of the preparations for the big political weekend ahead with the inauguration of Donald Trump in Washington and the protests scheduled around the country, including one that's expected to bring tens of thousands of demonstrators to Boston Common Saturday. We also want to hear what you're thinking on this eve of the Trump inauguration. What do you hope from the next president, or fear, or what are you expecting from a Trump presidency? Are you going to Washington? Are you marching in Boston? Why or why not? You can call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. We just heard two perspectives on the inauguration, one from Attorney General Maura Healey, who says that this weekend, the march, especially in Boston, is going to be a call for solidarity. We also heard from former Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown, who says the protest marches are disrespectful to the administration. Again, we'd like to hear your thoughts at 800-423-8255. WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks joins us on the line from Washington. Anthony, thanks for being with us.
Nice to be here, Deborah.
And also from Cambridge, Charles Freed is with us. He teaches at Harvard Law School, and he served as Solicitor General of the United States under President Reagan from 1985 to 1989. Professor Freed, welcome.
It's lovely to be here.
So, Anthony, let's start with you. What's the mood like in Washington right now on this eve of the inauguration?
Well, I mean, there's sort of two moods that you sense out in the street. I mean, on the one hand, I think there's a lot of excitement. You see it and feel it. The streets are the reviewing stands are already up on the streets. That's where the parade is going to go by the White House and on the way to the Capitol tomorrow after the inauguration. And there's a real sense of a historic transition taking place here. Lots of tourists in town, a lot of them Trump supporters. I talked to them yesterday. So there's a real sense of people wanting to participate in a significant historical moment. At the same time, you get a sense of uncertainty. I mean, don't forget, this is a city that voted 93% for Hillary Clinton. So it's saying goodbye to a president that is viewed very favorably here among most folks in Washington, D.C. And there's real, I would say, uncertainty and a real sense of uncertainty. And that's what you feel out in the street.
Is it very different, Anthony, would you say, from the mood 8 years ago when Obama was elected?
Oh, yeah, I think it is. I mean, again, you know, looking at the way people in the District of Columbia vote. I mean, when Barack Obama was elected president as the first African-American president in a majority African-American city, there was a huge sense of historical significance to this election. And there was a real sense of sort of jubilation and partying. You don't feel that sense of jubilation out there right now. I think I've used the word uncertainty about five times in the last minute, but that's sort of what I feel more in the street than the kind of let's get this party started when Barack Obama was elected. So that's one of the big, big differences.
And of course, right the day after the inauguration, we have these huge protest marches in Washington, and the one that's expected, at least at last count, more than 60,000 people expected on Boston Common Saturday. But I want to get to Professor Freed first before we talk about that. Professor Freed, you recently wrote an op-ed in The Globe, and you titled it, "Have an Open Mind, but Hold Trump Accountable." What does that mean?
Well, first thing is all this illegitimacy and impeachment nonsense has to stop. Hmm. It's ridiculous, and it makes the appropriate opposition to Trump, and there will be lots of occasions for it, seem silly and plays right into his hands. He was elected. The Electoral College elected him. He is the president.
But you know, Professor, I mean, a lot of folks are frightened about what happened with Russia. What was the influence on their election here?
There are some things happened that shouldn't have happened. Hmm. But they don't change the fact that he is the president.
Hmm. But do you keep your mouth shut?
I beg your pardon?
But do you keep your mouth shut?
Do you do what?
Keep quiet.
No, you don't keep quiet, but you don't say he isn't the president. He is the president. You've got to live with that. And as patriotic Americans, you have to make the best of it. Uh-huh. And you hear all this impeachment talk. That's rubbish. In our long history, two presidents have been impeached. Both impeachments failed. The first one was political and badly conceived. The second was a comedy and trivial. And the American people thought it was trivial. So we don't, impeachment, that's banana republic stuff.
What do you think is probably the key issue that citizens and members of Congress might be able to come together on and work
well,
with the
it's
president?
It's clear that the health care thing is the most crucial thing. Because Trump, who has said many things, many of which contradict each other, but he has been very emphatic that he is going to produce something which is better than the Affordable Care Act. It's going to be cheaper, it's going to cover more people, and it's going to provide better coverage. Those are his clear commitments. Now, how he's going to do that is a total mystery, particularly since he's got to deal with Paul Ryan, who, in my judgment, is a complete fake. His prescription is tax credits and health savings accounts, which are things which will help only people who don't need the help. Most of the people who need the help don't earn enough for tax credits to make a difference, and they certainly can't afford health savings accounds. And that's obvious.
Right.
You asked Ryan, and
as I say, he's a fake.
Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, I just wanted to say you asked where...
And therefore, Trump is in fact going to have to confront Ryan. And the two of them are going to have to, somebody's going to have to blink.
Professor, I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm wondering what you think, though, about the concerns that we've heard that by sort of trying to work within the system, you're almost normalizing some things that really are way out of place for a U.S. presidency.
Well, what are the alternatives? What does it mean to work outside the system? That is a Trump-like cliche or slogan. I mean, the system is what we have. It's our government. It's the United States. That's what we do.
I just mean about drawing the line as to what is normal and what isn't. And then
you draw all the lines you want. What is the significance of having drawn that line?
Anthony, let's talk a little bit about the protest in Washington this weekend. What are you hearing about that?
You know, I'd love to get to the protest, but I just want to add one thing to what you had been talking about with the professor, and that is in terms of where the opposition, the Democrats, the minority can work with the Republicans. I mean, the thing that I've heard again and again and again, I heard it from Senator Markey just a few minutes ago, I heard it from other members of our congressional delegation over the last couple of days, and that is infrastructure spending. The Democrats have been wanting to push this for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. They were unsuccessful under President Obama. President-elect Trump has indicated that he wants to spend big on infrastructure. So the Democrats are basically saying, okay, let's talk about how to do that. Now, if what Trump means by infrastructure spending are big tax credits for, the construction industry, maybe they're not going to find much common ground with the Democrats. But if he's serious about a bill that's going to, commit some public resources to a big infrastructure bill, I think that's some place where Democrats and Republicans can come together. And it's what you hear both of them talking about.
And let's hope we have a good bit of each.
I want to make sure we get some callers in as well. We want to remind folks that we are asking you your thoughts on the inauguration tomorrow and the protests this weekend. You can call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Angelina is calling from Arlington. Angelina, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a comment, and I will be joining the protest tomorrow in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to try to make my way out to Washington, but I will stand here. I will be, local, and I'm terrified. I'm going to stand with these people protesting because I don't believe in Trump's very vague plans in what he has for this country. And it's only Trump supporters who believe he has one and, stand for what he doesn't clearly state. And it's not only going to be Boston, not only Washington, not only this country. There will be protests worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this just doesn't happen, this is just not normal.
Okay, Angelina, you are taking to the streets to show your dissatisfaction with the fact that Donald Trump is president. I want to hear from more listeners before we run out of time. Patrick is calling from Arlington. Patrick, you're on the air.
Hello. Thanks for taking my comment. I'm originally from Ireland, naturalized mm-hmm. citizen, came here 28 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I embody the American dream, and I'm absolutely appalled that so many Americans don't even know their history, but that they would sell out, they would sell their values, their principles, and our ideals. It's what makes us great. And the fact that we have put, in my mind, Mr. Trump represents what is wrong with the country. And I will be protesting, but I am just appalled at the fact that so many of my fellow citizens would sell themselves short and put all their hopes in a man who clearly stands for nothing.
Or everything.
I'm sorry. I grew up in Belfast, Northern Ireland under Margaret Thatcher's regime. And believe me, I come from the streets. And I spent 20 years as a college professor teaching American history, and I know the difference between right and wrong. And time, well, I guess the American people are going to have to find out the hard way that this man is not the real deal.
But what do you think of Professor Fried saying, we have to accept, we have to really hope that he succeeds as the country's president? He's elected.
In all respect to Professor Fried, and the only time I ever gave money to a politician was Barack Obama, and I gave just under $1,000 because I believed in what he had to say. Now, did he make good on everything he promised? No, but it was important to send a message to the world, especially after 8 years of George Bush, that, look, this is America, e pluribus unum.
I'm with you there.
Many.
Okay,
yes.
Professor, go ahead.
I voted for Barack Obama also, both times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Deborah, I think what I would say to your caller, I mean, I think I take his point. I hear his passion. It's moving to hear someone call in who grew up in the streets of Belfast, and I get that and I appreciate it. But I think it's important. I mean, reasonable people can disagree on whether or not Donald Trump has made promises that make sense. But I think as, what I try to do as a journalist, and I think what we ought to be sort of focusing on here, is many millions of Americans did support the man. And it's worth asking why. It's worth asking what policies were in place that drove a million voters in deep blue Massachusetts to vote for Donald Trump. That's really the question that interests me. So in a way to dismiss Donald Trump just a joke and someone who should be, not taken seriously, in a way is to dismiss the many millions of voters who really felt a stirring need for change in this country.
Right.
So that's the only response.
And we've spoken, with several of those voters who have said just that. It was the idea of change. But I want to just make sure we get another perspective in here. Dean is calling from Hyde Park. Dean is on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I want to say that I am really sick of Republicans and conservatives criticizing citizens who are protesting the inauguration or elected officials who are boycotting the inauguration. This is a party who openly made it their top priority to make Obama a one-term president, and they bragged about it. So they have zero moral authority to criticize.
Okay. Dean, thanks very much for your call. I wonder what you say to folks like Dean. I'm going back to you, Professor.
I think that Mitch McConnell used to be a decent and important man when he was first elected. His statement about making Barack Obama a one-term president was totally unpatriotic and disgraceful. He disgraced himself and he disgraced his party. So I agree with your last speaker. I mean, the idea is we don't care if America fails so long as Obama fails. And that's practically treasonous.
I want to take another call here. Lynn is calling from Dorchester. Lynn, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Good. I appreciate the protesters who feel compelled to protest, but, I think it's important to remember that we have a peaceful transition of power, and whether we like it or not, this is the way the cards were dealt, and it seems counterproductive, exactly as your guest said, to hope that the person fails simply because they don't like the person who has been elected.
And do you support Donald Trump?
I did not support Hillary Clinton, and I think, I think we needed a change in how we look at our country. And I think Trump offered that, and that's my understanding of why the election turned the way it is. I also think the media, made this complete dichotomy between Clinton and Trump, and that people who are appalled and just, so disturbed by the election, really bought into the dichotomy that was presented, and that's disturbing in and of itself.
Okay, Anthony, I want to go to you now. I mean, this theme of change, of course, was what many folks did say won the election here. Are there thoughts from particularly members of our delegation about what that might mean in Massachusetts?
You mean
how change is going to play itself out and how we take those million voters you talked about earlier in this blue state of Massachusetts and incorporate them into what's happening here, particularly because we have an all-Democratic delegation.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're hearing from the delegation, I mean, as you know, two members of the delegation aren't going to be attending the inauguration at all. And I think what you're hearing from the others is an effort to look for some middle ground where they can work with Donald Trump. But I think what, they're waiting to hear is what is Donald Trump going to say tomorrow in his inaugural speech? Because throughout the transition, there's a real sense that, he has continued to sort of offer this pretty tough rhetoric, these Twitter wars and so on and so forth, that have actually driven his approval numbers down, according to polls. So they're looking for some signal, I think, is there going to be a president who is going to reach out and offer some kind of olive branch and some kind of sincere effort to bring the whole country together?
If I could jump into there. It's very interesting that a large number of Trump's national security people, the Secretary of State designate, the UN delegate, Nikki Haley.
Just a few seconds, Professor.
All of these people have violently disagreed with Trump on Russia, and he has pulled back. And they are not going to change. So it's they are very good people. Pompeo and Mathis and I think Tillotson and certainly Nikki Haley.
Well, certainly it is going to be very interesting. Charles Fried, he teaches at Harvard Law School, served as Solicitor General of the U.S. under President Reagan. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Also, WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks, who joined us from Washington. Anthony, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Deb.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.